This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 442 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, planet Earth, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Well, Bruce.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be our last episode.
Why did you think that?
Well, yesterday I thought I was going to die.
Let me guess, is this another gold prospecting story?
Man flu.
Worse.
Right. Much worse. I mean, it's hard to imagine it getting much worse.
Right. Okay.
In the known history of illnesses on the planet.
Uh-huh. Yes. Typhoid's got nothing on man flu.
Forget that plague death. Forget that plague stuff on you, I tell you. Other than something alien coming from space.
Right.
That's hitherto been unknown on the planet.
Yeah.
I had it. The flu off the man.
Right.
And even till, I would say, 2 or 3 o'clock today, it was looking pretty dicey that,
right.
Well, last week could have been our last episode, and yeah, today could have been a memorial lavender episode.
Right, okay.
I've pulled through.
So the listeners just don't realise how lucky they are.
I guess it all depends on perspective.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I'm pulling through. I think I'm going to survive now. It's a good thing we're recording on a Thursday, not on a Wednesday or a Tuesday.
Right.
But can you hear it? Look at that. Oh, look at that. Just terrible. So
definitely worse than the plague.
For two reasons.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep the episode short tonight.
Oh, that's, okay. What's the other one?
Well, one, I'm dying of man flu is number one.
Yeah.
Obviously, and possibly the more important of the two. And the second one being the party, the first part, is we haven't got much to talk about.
Right. Okay.
Tends to make them shorter.
It does. It does.
Now, was I right in believing you were doing a shoot last weekend?
Oh.
Was I right? No.
What I did on Tuesday was the staff photos for ABC Newcastle.
How did you go?
Good. I can't share those images yet because they haven't been signed off yet. So I should be able to do that next week. There were some interesting things about that whole process. So what I did was I took my whole kit. I took all three lenses with me. I thought, what the hell? Better to have more than what you need than to, you know, go half prepared. I took a light stand and a softbox and set it up in the on-air studio. And I grabbed the 15.
Yes.
And I did some stuff with the 15. And what I found was, yes, it gave you a really, you know, big, wide, dynamic kind of field of view, but it was a little bit too wide. And something I learned, because I've obviously not had much experience doing portraiture with that lens, because I've only had the lens for 6 months and I've not done a whole lot of portraiture in that time. What I found, and this may be a common thing with all wide angle lenses, I don't know, but particularly with this lens, when you shoot it in portrait orientation and you put faces near the edge of the frame, they get very elongated.
Yeah, that's what wide-angle lenses do.
Yeah. But it really, really exacerbates them in a portrait orientation more so than in a landscape orientation.
Well, some are better than others. I mean, that's where the quality of a lens comes in as well.
Right.
You know, you're batting with the, you know, basically a 1970s glass Coca-Cola bottle put into polished, of course, first, and then put into a lens frame.
Right.
Lao, as everyone knows, is Chinese for Coke.
Okay.
Yeah, compared to a quality piece of glass, let's say Tamron as an example, just to throw a name out there. Yeah, you get distortion, but
right.
Not as much. Yeah.
Yep.
But it requires more skill on the photographer.
Right.
To place elements and use angles in particular ways where that's reduced as much as humanly possible.
Yep.
So there are angles you can use. There are ways of framing. There are ways of posing. There are ways of leaning. Which will change.
The other thing that I found in looking at the images in Darktable once I got them home was that I felt like the subjects, the people that I was there to photograph, just ended up being too small in the frame, and that was.
Oh, you know why that is, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, distance, obviously, but it came
too
down,
far away. Yeah,
yeah, but it came down to the limits of the furniture within the studio as to where I could be to actually take the shot. So, whilst I understand your motivation for pointing me towards giving it a go with the 15mm, I actually think the 28-75 Tamron did a much better job. Less distortion. Was able to work, it just all looked a whole lot better. So, like I said, next week, hopefully I'll have sign off on the images that they want to use and I'll be able to share those and we can discuss the whole thing further then.
But remember, I did say do the safe shots first, get the safe shots done and then bring out the other lens. If you did the other way around,
I actually did the 28 first and then did the 15 second. But it was a case of I was chopping and changing simply because I had the Brekky Duo in first. And I went in and I did the girl who does mornings. I did some of her shots while she was still on air. And then she finishes at 11 and they go into networked content. So the on-air studio is then vacant for a few hours. And so after she left the studio, I was then able to get the Brekky Duo in to do their stuff. And so I was constantly chopping and changing between the two lenses anyway, because I was, trying to use both lenses for everyone that I shot. And after I'd done the Brekky Duo, the morning girl came back in and she said, "Oh, I like what you're doing with them. And can we do that angle?" And I was trying to make it so that I was shooting different angles for each of the presenters so that not all of the shots were from the same angle. But she really liked some of the angles I was doing with the Brekky Duo, and so she wanted that angle. So it was like, what the hell, throw it all out the window and we'll just shoot everything and hopefully we can, pick images at the end of all of this where they're not all the same angle. Hopefully not everyone loves the same angle.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Do you know what I'm hearing?
What's that?
Wah, 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 excuse. Nyeh, 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 excuse.
Okay, well, I'm just saying what I experienced.
I had to change lenses, and then I had to change the lenses again, and then they were too far away.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that it wasn't a simple process of shoot everything with one lens and then swap to the other lens and shoot it all again. It was a little bit more complicated than that.
It never is. Yeah. But you get what you want for that person.
Yep.
And then once you've got those, then you swap. And if you're shooting 20 people, you could do that 20 times.
That's right.
That's the process of photography. That's called being a photographer.
Yeah.
It's never easy.
So for me, it was five people in four sessions. So the mornings girl, the Brekky Duo, the drive jock, and then the weekend guy. So
that's the thing you'll learn from doing, especially doing jobs that you're employed to do.
Yep.
It's always bloody hard.
Yeah.
They don't go easy. There's nothing easy. That's what makes a good photographer is overcoming all those bloody obstacles that mostly aren't photographic.
Other
elements have to deal with to get the bloody thing to work out, even moderately so. It's a tough gig,
Yeah.
That's so, fun nonetheless.
Yeah.
So you think you got some good shots? You think you got kind of what they...
I'm confident that we've got something good for all of them and, that they'll be happy with what I've done, so...
Because, those people are pretty vain.
Some of them.
Usually, yeah.
Yep.
It's a tricky. Not a little bit easy with radio personalities because they're not as much face, but TV people.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh my wordy lordy.
Yes.
Yeah. That photo makes me look short. Well, you are short. Yeah, but it makes me look short. But you are short. But it makes me look short. But you're short. Talking to Tom Cruise, it's a bloody nightmare. Yeah. Man's a midget. Good on you. It was a good tough gig, and hopefully at some point we get to see the images.
Yeah, like I said, it should be fine by next week.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I've been out doing photos a bit this week.
Oh, okay. What have you been doing?
So I did a one-on-one on Saturday. I was doing this in one-on-one training with a lady.
Right.
Predominantly natural light, because the environments she needs to shoot in is conventions, and she has, you know, photographing people on stage.
Conventions as in trade shows?
Conventions as in like Comic-Con, as an example.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, okay.
So going to an event-type convention. Well,
that's as good as a trade show, yeah.
Yeah, it was just celebrities, and so she's photographing people on stage and trying to get brief moments with people in crowded trade show-type laneways and getting isolated portraits and stuff. So trying to help her through the process of, you know, isolating subjects, and maximizing whatever light there is, angles, all that kind of stuff. But we got some pretty cool shots. I got to photograph the lovely bowler again, or as I like to call her, e-bowler. She's not so fond of that, though. So she's been a model I've been using a little bit the last couple of weeks, because she's a tourist in town for a few months, living here for a few months, and doesn't have a job and doesn't have any money.
Right.
So anytime I can throw a few dollars her way, I use her as my model.
Sure.
So I did a one-on-one with Bowler on Saturday. It was just 4 hours, and we got some pretty cool shots.
Nice.
So we got the occasional really good bit of light, which was nice. But quite a bit of it was really fairly the mundane. Yeah, this angle of lens sees like this. This angle of lens sees like that.
Yeah.
And if it sees like that, this is the kind of background you can use. And if it sees like this, and that's the kind of background you use, well, this is where you're going to have to stand. And when you have to stand that far away, you're going to have people walking between you, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's lots of that kind of getting around the logistics of shooting in those sort of uncontrolled environments.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Monday, I went down to Custom Commune down here in town in Melbourne.
And what is that?
It's a motorcycle commune.
Right.
Where it's a repair shop. If you own a motorbike and you want to work on it in your shed, but your shed doesn't have any tools or any equipment to do said work, then you can join up Custom Commune, which is a bit like a gym membership. You have a membership and there's a whole big shed full of machines and lifts and other bikes. So all these people work there rather than working at home.
It's like a mechanics workshop timeshare.
Exactly right. For motorbike guys. You know?
That's awesome.
It's such a cool concept. And I was there to get my first look at the new Tamron 35-150 and the new 35mm 1.4.
Nice.
And I have to say, I'm in love. I'm in love with
I have seen you rabbiting on for the last 36 hours or so on Facebook about how good the 35 1.4 is.
I even got out of my sick bed to put photos. That's how much I like. This lens is – here's the weird thing. The only ones that are in the country at the moment are Nikon mount.
Oh, okay.
So I had to shoot with a Nikon camera.
Yep.
Which, of course, is quite alien. We're talking about this last year. It's quite alien. But, yeah, the way the guy had it set up, the focus was so completely different, because it doesn't beep when it's in focus. It doesn't, the lens is so silent and you can't really see it. It's hard to tell if you're even getting focus happening.
Right.
With that. So that was kind of weird. That was kind of, and when you're working 1.4 wide open, you know, you really want to be making sure you're nailing your focus.
Yes.
And when the thing's focusing in a completely alien manner to what you're used to, that adds somewhat of the struggle to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the dials and buttons are all in the wrong spot. So that was it. But then also the screens are completely different.
On the Nikon bodies?
Yes, the Nikon 850, the screen is so much more contrasty. Because I was also – so the Canon, they had the 35-150s in Canon mount.
Oh, okay.
So I'm shooting with Canon and Nikon at the same time.
Right.
And I shoot a shot in the same location with the 35-150.
Yeah.
And look at it on my screen and shoot with the same settings on the Nikon 850, and the color rendition, the contrast rendition, everything is so completely bloody different.
Right.
But not necessarily in a bad way. I kind of like the look.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like the look because it was different. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it took some getting used to.
Yeah. More important than the contrast and the brightness, was the white balance equal?
Yeah, reasonably so. But it was once again, though, when you're talking photographing a saturated subject.
Yeah, right.
And the contrast is right up, it's kind of hard to tell white balance.
Right, yep.
So I'm photographing a very, you know, she's Nigerian, so a dark-skinned girl, but very beautiful coffee-coloured skin. So when that gets contrast, it's hard to tell white balance because it's already warm-toned already.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty tricky to work all that kind of stuff. But I would say having to think about how I processed the images because, of course, his camera was set for RAW too, so I had to fiddle around with buddy files. I reckon I did cool down the white balance a bit on all of them. So I reckon you're right that it was – the white balance is a bit warmer than maybe the Canon's doing as well.
Right.
But my goodness, that lens is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I don't shoot 35mm focal length. I never have, but I'm going to from now on a lot. A very lot.
It's funny you should mention this because only today I was looking at YouTube and, you know, it's always throwing up recommended videos for you. And one of the things that threw up for me was a Manny Ortiz video where he was shooting with an A7 III. He was shooting with an Ace. Yeah, no, it was the A7 III. It wasn't the R3. It was the A7 III with a Speedmaster manual focus 0.95 lens.
Yeah.
And he was doing portraits out in the street, wide open at 0.95 f-stop, manual focus. And he was just talking about, you know, the challenges that represents.
Oh, yeah.
And how he was using the zoom in option, which the Sonys have when you're doing manual focus. It offers the ability to zoom in like 6x to a point on the image so that you can just narrow down your focus. And once he got it to where he wanted it, he was just holding the camera and going blah, 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 you know, and firing off half a dozen frames and just hoping that one of them was, you know, right on. And yeah, it was interesting to watch. So
that's kind of how I shoot macro.
Yeah, for sure.
Because everything's moving so much and every quarter of a centimeter has such a big impact.
Yeah.
Even your breathing can affect the focus point.
Yep.
That you literally have to, burst shoot to have a hope in hell of getting anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you're loving the lens.
It is just simply the best lens I've ever used.
And the other lens, that would be a really good travel lens.
Look, it's a great image quality wise is perfectly fine. It's a really good lens. So I'm going to Africa 6 weeks time or whatever.
Yep.
I'm going to take, and instead of taking a 24-70 and 70-200, I'm just taking the 35-150.
Right.
So that cuts down about 3 kilos in weight straight away.
Nice.
Yeah, so which is really good. And then the lens I would be using the least anyway.
Yep.
And more than likely, I'll take the 17-35 rather than the 15-30 because, once again, it saves me about more than half a kilo in weight. So the 17-35, 35-150, and then my 150-600.
Yep.
I've got 17-600 and 3 lenses, which is pretty darn nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool way to go. So the weird thing is, I still don't know what happened. I took a series of shots to demonstrate, because I was teaching the Tamron sales team how to use the lenses, just some tricks and tips and stuff. You know, and I took a series of photographs to demonstrate how the 35-150 can be used as a portrait lens to change the viewpoints on the world or whatever. And they're not in the memory card. I can't find them anywhere.
What?
I don't know. I must have taken 10 shots.
How bizarre.
And they're not there. They are gone-ski.
That's weird.
I have no idea.
You didn't shoot them on the other camera, did you, on the Nikon that you handed back?
But what I was doing, I was swapping the same memory card between the two cameras.
Right.
So either way, it would be on the memory card because I only shot with the one memory card for the day.
Is it possible that you hadn't moved the memory card across to the camera and you just shot the frames off without them actually being written to memory?
No, it can't. And I'm pressing play and showing everyone photos to demonstrate the process of what I'm doing.
That's weird.
I know. I've gone back to the memory card about 5 times and looked.
And there's multiple folders? Like, does it store the RAWs in a different folder to the JPEGs or anything like
that? No. So the same folders. There's a Nikon folder and there's a Canon folder.
Mm.
And you know what? It's just not there.
That is bizarre.
I know. And I looked and looked and looked. Yeah, so that's somewhat of a cause for concern. I'll have to do some experimenting with that and see if that keeps happening.
Yeah, right.
So I've had a good couple of days out shooting.
Yeah, nice.
The 35-14 for Canon doesn't arrive in the country till next month, so I'm I'm bitterly disappointed. I can't wait to get out and actually, because at most I probably had 10 minutes shooting. So what we did, so we did some walking in some shots in the street, and then I set up one of my Cineroid LED light panels inside the custom commune, and we had one of the Tamron guys with a thing that makes sparks go when you put a spinny thing on a piece of metal.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what, the grinder? No?
An angle grinder, yep.
There you go. They put a spinny thing on a piece of metal and made sparks fly.
Yep.
And I made him fire the sparks behind the model. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That came out pretty well.
Cool.
And I haven't used my Cineroid LED panels in a long time. So this is 800 panel LED light.
Okay.
Flexible. So it's foldable and everything else, but it's got a little soft box with it as well. And my goodness, the photos in the back of the camera, which is absolutely glorious. Just the softness of the light coming out of it. It was just, I'm going to have to use it more and more and more.
Nice.
I think I might have to carry just that light panel and the 35mm lens with me everywhere from now and just shoot with those two things. Nothing else. So I've had a good week. It takes a lot to get me interested and excited in gear.
Right.
An awful lot.
Yep.
So for me to be excited about this lens, I haven't been excited about a lens in, I can't remember the last time I got excited. I mean, genuinely, wow, I can't wait to get and shoot with this thing kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that'll do the job. Or, yeah, that replaces the other one perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So all the generations of lenses that I've had are from Tamron. So I was like, that's good. Yeah, that just replaces the last one and nothing much changes. But this 35-1.4 may actually change the way I shoot for a while.
Wow.
Which is pretty epic. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
So it's been my week in photography.
Fantastic.
And bleating and moaning. At this time, because of the flu, normally it's just general, you know, life in general, I bleat and moan. But,
right.
Yeah. So before I dive into this man flu, should we talk about a couple of bits and pieces? Do we have anything?
Why not? Just a couple of things, not a whole lot. The first thing is something that I came up with on boardpanda.com, which was just a post about how much repetition there is on Instagram when it comes to composition.
How did they figure that?
Obviously they've searched for certain, you know, well-known landmarks and just, you know, or keywords and whatever.
Person-centered, standing in a rock in a teal lake.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's, you know, a single-centered tent lit up, captured with a long exposure in front of the Milky Way. Oh, and it's amazing just how much repetition there is. And it's probably not telling our listeners anything they didn't already know, but I just thought it was funny.
Person-centered in front of this big rock in this one cave.
Yep. So it's classic. Carl sent us an email regarding episode 440, the episode that Joe Edelman was on, and said, "Hey, Bruce, great podcast. I give you 8 out of 10. Would have given you a 10, but the Skype audio was a bit harsh on the eardrums. Good job."
And Glenn wasn't in it, so how could it possibly have been a 10? Oh, my goodness.
There you go. Adam sent us a few stories through the week. The first was from DIYphotography.net, and this is the Wingo Pro. And this is a funky contraption that you can attach your small GoPro or GoPro knockoff action camera to, and then you spin this thing on a flexible rope above your head, and what this thing does is keep your action camera always facing you as you're spinning it around over your head. And the idea is that you set this up at, you know, 120 frames a second or, you know, 240 frames a second if you've got the ability to shoot that quick. Yeah. And then you slow it down and you get these beautiful, silky, smooth, slow-mo shots of the camera flying around you, almost, you know, Matrix bullet time-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's well worth watching the video.
So I can do that with my little Insta360 video camera.
Yeah, nice.
It comes with a piece of string in the box.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And you just swing it around the top of your head. But the funny thing is, in all the videos, as in the ones in that Wingo Pro, the person's got their arm up in the air.
Yes.
You'll be able to try and find a way of doing it where you don't stand there with your arm up in the air in every single shot.
That would be great. The next one was on Petapixel, and this is all about 500px threatens to ban popular user it once hailed as a Photoshop master. And this is all down to the idea that they're starting to crack down on images which are not photographic enough. Polish photo artist Michael Karks says he's being kicked out of the 500px community despite the fact that 500px once celebrated his popular work. So anyway.
Are you a photo website, or are you a art website, or, you know?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know whether the terms of service on 500px say, you know, that you have to be purely photographic and can't be photo illustrative. I don't know. But clearly they're pulling away from the illustrative side of photographic art. So it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, at what point does it stop being a photograph? I mean, how much?
Yeah.
Is it a matter of adding elements? Is it a matter of, what's the cutoff point?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, well.
His work's beautiful. I mean,
for sure.
Say, it's not remotely real.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, and it's not photographic, but, you know, are they selling photos? Are they selling art? Or what are they, you know? But it's, if they want to tout themselves as a photo website, I guess it makes sense to cut out on that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Next one was another one on DIYphotography.net. The Bye Camera app automatically removes all the tourists from your smartphone holiday snaps. This is an interesting one. There's an interesting paragraph in the middle of this blog post that says the Bye Camera was designed by an artist who goes by Damjansky and his collaborators Andrei and Pavel from Russia. Damjansky describes it as an app for the post-human era, which takes out the vanity of any selfie and also the person. In an interview with Art Gnome, Damjansky talked about his idea behind the app. It's a gentle nod to a future where complex programs replace human labor and some would argue the human race. It's interesting to ask, what is a human from an AI's perspective? In this case, a collection of pixels that identify a person based on previously labeled data. But who labels this data that defines a person immaterially? So many questions for such an innocent little camera app.
How funny is that, huh?
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. It was getting all a little bit too existential for my liking. I gave up at that point. But it's an interesting concept. Like, if you can get AI to, completely remove people that you don't want in an image from an image, that would be fantastic. Yeah,
a fairly easy photographic trick if you're doing a normal SLR and, you know, Photoshop, but
yeah.
It's not so easy otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I guess you've obviously got to shoot some data that will actually give the AI some idea of what was behind the person, but anyway. The next one that Adam sent us was, this genius trick gives you an infinite white background for shooting small products. And this was a guy who posted it on his Instagram. His name is Justin Gustavisen.
Gustavisen.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to go into one of those why has this not been thought of before concerts.
Oh, absolutely. So basically what this guy has done is he wanted an endless white backdrop to shoot. I don't know why he was shooting his shoes, but anyway,
in a circle, yeah.
Maybe he runs an online store selling shoes. So what he's done is he's placed all of his shoes in a circle, roughly, looking at that, I'd say maybe a 1 meter diameter, maybe a little bit more than that. He's put his camera on a rotating dolly. He's put an arm out over the top of the camera and then held a small white backdrop, not much bigger than an A4 sheet of paper.
It's white cardboard, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then that piece of white cardboard or paper, whatever it is, has filled the frame of the camera so that as he rotates the camera, it's like he's got this, you know, cylindrical, endless white backdrop. It's very clever. Took a little bit of work to actually get to his Instagram and then actually play the video itself, but the link to the DIY photography blog post will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to follow that rabbit hole.
A clever little idea, though.
Oh, absolutely. Very clever. The next one was, film photographers, beware of this fake Fuji film, which can mess up your developer solution. I have not had a chance to read this one. If you shoot film, pay attention to what you're buying. There have been reports that fake Fujifilm 35mm film has appeared on the market. The company warns that this non-genuine film can contaminate your developer solution, which can definitely pose a big problem. Please note that these products are packed with movie film inside the used 35mm Patron and cannot be developed with the normal color neg film development process, which is C41 or CN16. If the Photoshop develops, it may contaminate the developer and it may be necessary to change the solution and to clean the rack of the developing machine, which may lead to development failure of other customers' films. In order to avoid these risks, the shop will refuse the development of non-genuine products. I mean, it begs the question, though, if you're out buying this film, how are you going to know whether you're getting genuine Fujifilm or fake Fujifilm?
If there's no indicator on that article to say, on the box, look for this, on the canister, look for this, then you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you the film canister, and it says this is what the fake film looks like.
But it looks like normal Fujifilm.
I was going to say, how would I know that that's not legitimate Fujifilm film canisters? Because I haven't bought a roll of 35mm film in 20-plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably anyone who's still shooting film may be familiar with what Fuji's current film canisters look like, but yeah.
One of the big things in film is people love buying old, out-of-date films.
Exactly.
So you could be buying this stuff, thinking, oh, this is really cool. Might have an old vintage look to it.
Yeah.
And it's not so good at all.
Exactly. The next one that Adam sent us was, photojournalist admits faking award-winning photos of Honduran violence.
Does he? I
am shocked, Glyn. To think
I don't
that
know
there
he's
would be
it.
Photographers.
I don't think he's admitted it.
Oh, he hasn't? He's just apologised after being accused of it.
I haven't even seen him. Everything I've seen about it this week has been he's saying, no, it's real, and then won't respond to any more emails. And then his agency said, no, we've investigated, and they're real, and then they won't answer any questions either. So I don't know. It's come out since last I looked.
Interesting.
But journalists, it's the headline, admits faking award-winning film.
This is another one that I've only just grabbed the thing off the website from Adam, and I hadn't had a chance to go through it myself, so I can't comment on what the story actually says, but I'll put the link in the show notes and you can go and check it out. And the last one from Adam, this is how you shoot mouth-watering food commercials with cameras and robots. And I watched this video, it only goes for about 5 or 6 minutes if I remember correctly, and this guy basically started out as a photographer's assistant in New York, I'm guessing 20 years ago, because he mentions in the video that he's now been at this game for like 15 years doing what he's now doing, and eventually went out on his own, and he started mucking around with robots to hold and or move both props and cameras to get this amazing cinematography stuff. He started out as a stills photographer, but eventually realized that there was more work and more money in the video side of things, and he's built up his studio in New York where he's now doing these amazing camera moves, and again, highly recommend that you watch this video. It's not a massively long time commitment to watch it, but some of the stuff he's doing just looks amazing. He's got this white board with a slot cut in it, and there's a robot arm that's holding a glass, and this glass is flying through the air as different liquids are being poured into it. It's all being videoed, and then the arm goes through the slot in this white cardboard, so it makes it look like the glass has actually landed from midair onto this table.
Man.
It's beautifully shot. It really is clever stuff. So, yeah, definitely worth a look.
Just to that previous article, yes, he has come out and admitted that he says he's sorry for what happened. He takes full responsibility. The agency frequently asked me in good faith to guarantee the authenticity and ethical nature of all the situations that were photographed, and I always assured them that the incriminating photos were not the result of posed situations that had been set up. But I must, however, now admit that, in light of what has recently emerged, no, it's people saying you didn't do it, it wasn't true. I'd like to say sorry to everyone involved.
Right. So I got away with it for as long as I could, and yeah. Now I've been busted.
Now I've been caught.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's been a year for it, really, hasn't it, hey?
As they say in the travelling Wilbury said in Jersey, anything's legal as long as you don't get caught.
The who?
The travelling Wilburys.
You listen to some music, don't you?
You have like
that guy, that guy who had the stroke and lost his ability to sing and write good music, and his new album came out last week, and it's like you've been going on about how good it is. Winston, something about a Tucson, something
Tucson train.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Springsteen. I'm talking about the Traveling Wilburys, which was like the original supergroup.
Yeah, I know who they are. Did you hear any of the music though?
What?
Did you hear any of their music?
It was awesome.
You get that much talent in one room, that's the best they can come up with.
Well, if you didn't like it, then you taste up your butt.
Next.
Anyway. As they said, in Jersey, anything's legal as long as you don't get caught.
I can't take anything from someone who likes Bruce Springsteen. that anything's legal as long as you don't get caught. That reminds me, I said years ago, hearing this funeral parlor advertisement.
Oh, yeah.
That said, any concept you have for the funeral, if it's legal, we can do it.
Right.
It's just a strange thing to be advertising as a funeral parlor.
Yes.
Very bizarre. Anyway,
and what have you got on your list?
Well, I've only got a couple of bits. First, a serious thing. One of Nikon Australia's ambassadors lost his life this week. So, yeah, just
looked, that's good.
Dale Sharp. Yeah, it was a storm chaser. Did amazing storm photography.
Right.
He had a car malfunction and pulled over the side of the road in America.
Oh,
and whilst
yes.
waiting for help, this car's flying on the road, sees his car, I don't know how. I can't imagine the car was in the road. It would have been off to the side of the road.
Yep.
But the guy's panicked and swerved off the road to avoid the car,
yep.
straight into where this guy was staying off the road to be away from danger.
Yep.
So Dale Sharp, we check out his photos and pay a little bit of respect to another one down.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Yeah. The last thing is, it's not even so much about the product, which is an amorphic lens for an iPhone.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, just clarify what anamorphic is.
Amorphic, and it's not anamorphic. That's the problem. When you say anamorphic, it's amorphic.
No, it's anamorphic.
No, it's and it's.
Have a look at the heading.
Oh, yeah, as I said, anamorphic. So I said it's anamorphic. Anyway, it's the type of lens they use a lot in cinematography that gives you that kind of wide-angle viewpoint. I don't know the details of it because I don't do it or use it. But it's a style of lens that gives you a certain look.
Right.
But my first comment will explain what it is.
Okay.
So I went to see what it was on Deep Preview.
Yeah.
And the whole point is really about the comments because comments are probably the best stuff on Deep Review as it is anyway.
Right.
So comment number one is this, and this will explain all about what an anamorphic lens is.
Yeah.
The concept of using anamorphic lenses for digital imaging confuses me. The purpose of an anamorphic lens was to use greater amounts of film stock in one direction, as the resulting projection from the negative would have a greater magnification in the orthogonal axis to offset the magnification in the negative, and ultimately achieve greater detail in the final display rather than exposure of a negative in the dimensions of the final output.
Say what?
That's comment number one.
I can see it.
You go, oh, my goodness. Then you get, not sure, a couple of them down. Until I see a good cat video, I'm leaving it on the junk list. kind of the opposite. And then... There's 96 comments. I only flicked through and had a look at a few. But there you go. The price of a decent anamorphic lens is pretty crazy. So for $160, this makes much more affordable. It makes it much more affordable to create dynamic content that would be great for web and FB banners.
Right.
I crop from my 4K footage already, so I can fit in those aspect ratios. I think the huge benefit for something like this is making it affordable for low-budget content creators, for social banners and the like. It's not for everyone, but it has my attention. I thought, well, that's probably the best, most common sense. But it was followed up by, I don't have a FB, and I have no idea what a social banner is. I guess they must be important to some people. It's like, oh, people. The human race, I'll tell you. In my sick bed today, I was watching a show on Netflix, and I've got out of that. And when I go straight back out to my cable TV, my Foxtel, and by chance it was on a TV channel that was playing a show called Laguna Beach.
Okay.
Which I must admit I've never ever heard of before.
No.
I think, and I'm still not sure, I think it's a reality TV show.
Right.
Of, like, I don't know, I'm still not sure, 17 or 18-year-old US teens.
Right.
I watched it for 5 minutes. I didn't understand a word they said.
It's an hour of your life you'll never get back.
They didn't speak one coherent sentence or form one complete thought where they actually finished what they were saying.
Yeah.
It was all like, yeah, and then he went, and then the person would go, yeah, and six, and then you were also. And they'd go, yeah, can't believe. And they'll go, yeah. And then the hugs, and they get, and they, yeah. And it's like they didn't make a single coherent sentence. So I went out to the shops, I bought some stuff. I came back, turned the TV on, the same show's still on. Watched it for another 5 minutes. Made even less sense. I watched 10 minutes of TV where they didn't form a coherent sentence.
Sounds about right.
This is the future of our world, Bruce.
Yep.
I'm getting off.
I just found another comment on the anamorphic lens that I love.
Please share.
So how will this work, given that the vast majority of smartphone users shoot video vertically?
Oh, yeah. there's another comment a little bit further down that will fit perfectly for the new Warner Brothers tall screen cinemas they're building.
Yeah.
It's all vertical cinema screens.
Oh, I love it. I love
people. People who need people. So, listeners, and that means you people, the people that are out there, if you're listening to this before the next episode comes out, we have who from where?
Oh, Aaron from Flern. So I'm going to be talking with him next Friday, which is the 5th of July. And so that will, in theory, if all goes to plan, will be in the podcast next week in episode 443.
And what are you asking for?
I have no idea yet, but some of listeners have actually given us some topics on the Facebook page.
Bruce, yeah. I'm asking for you to say to people here,
yeah,
if anyone's got any questions.
Oh, no, it's too late for that.
Why would it be too late? They put them out on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, I suppose they could. You've still got time. Awesome. You've still got time to respond to
what I'm trying to lead. As I've always said, you lead a horticulture, but you can't make a drink. No,
that's right.
No, anyway, something about horticulture. Anyway, what I'm trying to lead Bruce towards here is if anyone has any questions for Flern, which is what?
Well, it's a little bit like lynda.com, except it's all about photography. So it's online tutorials.
On all aspects of photography?
It's primarily post-production stuff. So, you know, Photoshop, Lightroom, you know, maybe they need to get some dark table happening, but that sort of stuff. They occasionally do photography, you know, as an art form of its own, but it's mostly about the post-production side of stuff.
So you want to ask if anyone's got any questions?
Yeah. If you've got questions that you'd like to hear Aaron answer, then go and have a look for the thread on the Shutters Inc. page on Facebook. Or, of course, drop a comment on shuttersincpodcast.com under the show notes for this episode, and I will compile a list of questions, and hopefully we can throw some of those Aaron's way and get him to talk coherently about that.
I've got one.
Yeah.
why would anyone pay a monthly subscription to watch videos on post-production that are thousands upon hundreds of thousands of free ones on the internet?
It's all about the quality.
That's for him to say.
Yeah.
No, you aren't. I'm not asking you to answer it.
I'm saying as an end user, it's about the quality. Because I know what it's like to go to YouTube looking for good content. It is so hard to find.
Trust me, I know, but let's hear him say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if him justifies existence. Because and here's the second one, because you mentioned lynda.com.
Yeah.
I get free access to lynda.com with my library membership.
Nice.
And so does every Victorian, not sure about New South Wales folk or not.
Right.
If you have a library card, I get free access to ebooks, to audiobooks, to lynda.com and many, many other all magazines. All free.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder if New South Wales has the same reciprocal arrangement.
That's what I'm sort of bringing up. So once again, he's trying to make an existence in a world of free.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hear him sell the case. Now I agree. At the same time, I teach photography in a world where there's so much photography on the internet for free.
Yep.
But as you say, it's trying to get a cohesive quality.
It's hard. You know, I went to YouTube looking for tutorial content on Darktable and, you know, it was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. There was a lot of crap. And that's why I threw my hat in the ring.
Yeah, you liked it so much you bought the company.
That's right. Yes. So, you know, and it's been the same with other pieces of software that I've wanted to learn, you know. I was looking at a video today that was how to shoot steady video footage without using a gimbal. And this was a guy with close on 100,000 subscribers. It was a 12-minute video, and he actually got to the content 5 minutes and 40 seconds into the video.
Why?
And the actual content that the video purported to be about went for 4 minutes, because the last 3 or 4 minutes was all just ad content of him telling you all about who sponsored the video.
God.
And, yeah, and somebody in the comments had just, like, you know, 5 comments down had said, video starts at 5 minutes 40. And there was a ton of responses from people going, thank you for that. You know, that was just an absolute waste of time, you know, all of this.
5 minutes is madness, isn't it? That's ridiculous. A long time to. People don't want to watch a 5-minute video, let alone wait 5 minutes before the content starts.
Exactly. You know, and it's one of the things that I've been really hard on myself about when it comes to producing my Darktable videos, is I make a point of getting straight to the point of whatever the video is about, straight out of the gate. And I've sort of made it a thing that if I want to chat about other crap, I'll put it at the end. And I've said that on multiple occasions. You know, I'll always cover the what you came here to find. We'll cover first, and if I've got other stuff, we'll do that at the end. And I can only assume that people appreciate that, because I keep getting comments from people saying it's so good. You know, not having to skip through ages of video to try and find what I was here to learn.
So, as I've always said, do things in the way that you would like them to be done.
Exactly.
That you'd like to go to, and hopefully you'll find other people who feel the same, you know?
Exactly. So. And for those who are following the footy, fourth quarter of the Essendon Giants match, 30 minutes and 42 seconds in, and it's 71-71.
Wow. So that's like equal.
It's very close to equal.
Very close to. And for those who don't know what Bruce is talking about, a game would tend to normally go only about 30 to 32 minutes, about a quarter.
Yeah.
So it's pretty close to the very, very end, and it could go either way.
Final siren could only be seconds away, and scores are level. So there we go.
I'm just putting it on my phone now as we speak.
Excellent.
I'm watching both the cricket and the football on my phone at the same time. What kind of crazy world is this, though, Bruce?
Totally.
That we can now, you know, Oh, Essendon's taking a mark in the goal square.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not.
Well, there you go.
All going to be over.
Live football coverage here on Shutter Zinc.
We could get in trouble for broadcasting.
4 days later. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thank you.
And I'll
bye, everybody.
I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2you.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.